I'd like to ask that you would join me in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, awesome are you who sits up on high, who sits on the throne of grace. Open our hearts, O Lord, now that as your word is opened, as it's proclaimed, that we can receive what you would have us to receive. Lord, I pray that you would take my human words and that you would put power behind them, that we could hear what you would want us to hear this morning. That you would protect me from me and hide me behind the cross of Jesus. It's in his sweet and precious name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you this morning to take out of your worship program a little piece of paper that looks like this. It's called a message download. It's an outline of what I'm going to talk about as we finish up this series called Don't Push My Buttons, Dealing with Difficult Children. That's something you can take notes on that you can revisit a little bit later on or use for a topic of conversation. Before we get into the message, I want to share with you this scripture reading. It's from a book in the Bible. It's in the second part of your Bible towards the end, the last third. It's called Ephesians. It's actually not a book, but it's a letter that a guy named Paul wrote to a church that he helped to start. And he's giving them some instruction. And of course, you know, Paul wrote to the leaders of the church, but they would often read the letters within their worship service. And so there would have been children present. And so he even instructs children here as well as parents. So listen to these words. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Amen. Now, I don't know about you and how it is with your kids or kids in your life, but my children at times seem to be expert button pushers. They seem to know exactly how it is to push the right button, to get a reaction, to have a little fun with Dad. For example, you know, Jack knows exactly how to push my buttons, especially after I have corrected him. So, you know, for example, if I, say to Jack, "Jack, would you please put your milk cup in the sink and shut off that show on the television and do as I ask, please?" He'll say, "No." And then I'll say, "Jack, shut off the television, put the cup of milk in the sink." And so he'll shut the TV off, and then he'll go and do it, and then I'll hear this. It's like a snort. And I'll say, "What did I ask you to do, Jack? What did you just say?" "Nothing." And I'll go and throw in a thing. And I'll each time. And there's nothing in the world that pushes my buttons more than when I correct my child and they turn around and they go, right in my face. Now, I know that all children out there aren't as spirited as our Jackie. But whether your child is an angel or whether your child is a hellion, all children at one time or another will push the buttons of their parents. Now, I'm dealing with it now, you know, with a 3- and a 6-year-old, but they tell me that it continues on. You know, that even when they're 13, that they can push your buttons. And when they're 23 and 43, they're still pushing buttons. It's like, you know, children come out of the womb with the DNA to know how to push their children's buttons, their parents' buttons. The question today is, how do we deal with these button pushers? How do we deal with the difficult children in our lives? How do we deal with the kids that push our buttons some of the time? You know, this is a hard thing. This is a hard question. Parenting is one of the hardest jobs in the world. And so, Parents, today I hope that you will hear in the message some practical application to apply to your life as a parent when your child pushes your buttons. I hope you hear some biblical ways, some biblical methods that you can use to apply to your life as you parent your child. Now, for those of you who don't have children, and for those of you who kind of indirectly have children, you might be a grandparent or an aunt or uncle, or you might just be a neighbor to somebody that has children, and sometimes you watch the children. If you have children in your life at any point, then you too should listen today, because you have to understand this. When it comes to children, they are equal opportunity button pushers. And what I mean by that is, sure, you might get them for a little while, and you know how children are. They're on their best behavior for the first couple of hours because they're still trying to figure you out. You see, they're smart children. But once they get comfortable, watch out, because they'll push your buttons too. There's no doubting it. Now, my natural inclination when my buttons are pushed by one of the boys is to yell. That's just how I am, how I'm wired. Now, if they persist, even after I seek to correct them verbally, then it's sometimes a timeout or a spanking. But I think we respond to the children in our lives who are button pushers, who are pushing our buttons, much like our parents responded to us in most cases. So I don't know how it was with you when you were coming up, but when I pushed my parents' buttons, especially my dad's buttons, he would first yell, just like I do, And then if I proceeded to push buttons, then, it was threatening with the belt. We would get threatened with the belt. And so if you were so foolish that you continued to push buttons again and again, then you actually got the belt. And that's how it is. So today, when I go to verbally correct my children and they're pushing my buttons and I yell at them, it's kind of eerie because I hear my dad's voice. I mean, it's almost like my dad is talking sometimes, yelling through me. I said, did I just say that? That's what my dad used to say exactly to me. Maybe you found the same thing. But you know what? Knowing that this is my inclination, and knowing that my children, like all children, will be button pushers by birth, one of my daily prayers is that God would make me a better parent. One of my daily prayers is that God would give me more patience in parenting. Because you know what? If you're a parent, you better be praying. If you're a parent of a child who pushes your buttons, then you better be praying. And so I pray on a regular basis for my children, not just to be a patient parent and a better parent, but I also, will pray for my children that they get to see things that I didn't get to see, and that they don't have to see things that I had to see. And I pray that God would tear the veils off the heavenly and shower upon them blessing after blessing after blessing. But I also pray that God would allow just enough suffering and strife and hardship in their lives that they would know from whom their help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth. Just enough, you see. And then, I pray for their physical health and for their spiritual health, that one day they would grow up to bend the knee to Jesus and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that God would anoint them to do His work and His kingdom, preferably not as a pastor, but in some other way. I'll tell you about that later. It's nothing to do with you all. See, in dealing with children, when they push your buttons, you better be praying about it. You better be inviting God to be a part of how you respond, recognizing that just as there's no perfect people, you know what? There's no perfect parents. Yet, we're called to do our best to respond in a loving and appropriate way when our buttons are pushed. Now, it seems to me the Bible is quite clear that it's necessary when a child misbehaves in any way, when a child pushes our buttons, that we must first correct. We have to respond with correction. We must have an immediate response that is grounded in love. We don't respond to our children with correction because we're angry or because we want to put them in their place. But we respond to our children, we give correction, we give discipline because we want to teach them what's right and what's wrong, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. We want to teach them what is polite and what is not polite. Because you know what? Parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and anybody that deals with any children, we're stewards of our children. You know, in the church we talk about stewardship sometimes and people automatically think of money. Well, guess what? Just as God gives us all of our money, just as God gives us all of our clothes and the water and food we drink, so God has given us the children in our lives. And we have a responsibility to bring them up to the best of our abilities, relying on God to do that, correcting them in an appropriate and loving way, because one day we're going to stand before God and He's going to say, "How did you do?" And so we need to be able to say, "I did my best. I did my best." So, you know, if you're not responding to your child when they push your buttons, guess what? You need to. If you're not responding because, you know what, they're actually in charge of the relationship, well, guess what? You need to get the heck out of the back seat and get in the front seat and take the car keys and let them know who's boss, because the Bible gives you authority over your children and you have stewardship over your children. Now, there's, of course, a number of different ways to respond when a child pushes your buttons. So, for example, you might respond verbally. Say, you know, "Please don't do that." Or, you know what, you might respond by giving them a timeout, right? Where you put them in a chair somewhere else and they can think about what they've done for a time. You know, in my day, we called that going to the corner. You would go to the corner. We didn't have timeout chairs. Or you know what, you might respond just by doing nothing, now hear me, so that they experience logical consequences of their action. That's their discipline. So for example, you know, if they insist on riding their bike with flip-flops on or with no shoes at all, and their heel gets caught in the chain and gets cut up, well guess what, they've experienced the logical consequences of their behavior. They've experienced the pain of that. I want us to take a look at this video here to see the experience of some random people on the street when they were asked, "How are you disciplined as a child, and how have you disciplined your child?" Let's take a look. You roll that, Alex.
How were you disciplined growing up, and how does it differ from the way you disciplined your children?
I used to get my butt whooped, but I used to accept that as a form, but we don't really do that to our children.
I don't remember getting spanked. I do remember having to have some timeouts. And my disciplining style was much like my parents.
I wasn't spanked or anything. So I don't know that much is different.
Wait till your dad gets home.
I would say that I was disciplined in a very moderate way growing up, and that the way I disciplined my children were similar.
All the basics at that time, the grounding, and that followed through with the kids too.
What advice would you give to new parents in disciplining their children?
I think that the advice I would give parents would be to show respect for your children.
Be consistent, be fair, and equal among children.
I think probably to do it, not be afraid to do it, because we're told in the Bible that we are to bring up our children in the fear of the Lord and to respect authority, and you cannot do that without disciplining your children.
I think showing their love, family projects, togetherness, worshiping, you know, respecting and looking for guidance to the Lord.
How important is it to encourage a child, and why is it important?
Because life is tough, and I think a child needs all the encouragement he can get.
It's important to encourage them, because it's just going to go on how they're going to treat their kids, and their kids is going to treat everybody else. You know?
I think it's most important to encourage a child. A parent needs to be their child's best cheerleader, but they also need to discipline. So it's a balance between the two.
Extremely important. We all need encouragement every day.
I think it's very important to encourage them, but I think that we have to be careful. There's a difference between encouraging them and pushing them.
We're supposed to be the role models for the children, and without good role models, they're going to find something that's maybe less.
What we're really talking about, you know, in this message and what those people were talking about in those interviews was what we call discipline. How do we respond to difficult children with discipline? How do we respond to the littlest of button pushers with discipline? Now, when I say the word discipline, most of our minds automatically begin to think about spanking and hitting. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, about discipline. But first, I want you to notice something about this word discipline. This word discipline, you know what? It has the same root as another word that you might be familiar with. It's the word disciple. You know, Jesus had disciples. Discipline and disciples come from the same word. It means to learn. It means to learn. That Jesus had disciples who were learners. They learned about his ways. They learned about the kingdom of God. And so when, you know, we discipline, it's for the purpose of learning, you see. It's to teach. It's to learn. And we've seen that that happens in a variety of different ways, whether that's, you know, timeouts or verbal reprimand or taking away privileges. We didn't talk about that. You take away privileges or take something that, you know, is important to the child that pushes your buttons. But let's talk about spanking, because, you know, you heard it in the video there and you hear it talked about a lot. So let's talk about spanking, because you know what? There's a variety of interpretations out there, whether, you know, parents should spank or not spank. And, you know, that would be one thing, but it seems that people, you know, with those interpretations, either the pro-spanking camp or the anti-spanking camp, they always point to the Bible for some justification. So the church better make sense of it all. And, you know, as followers of Jesus, you know, we should make sense of what the Bible has to say. As I said, this is one means of disciplining, of teaching our children, spanking. And I want to say up front that to you that I have respect for those of you, I have the utmost respect for those of you who choose not to spank your children because you believe that violence begets violence, because you believe that, you know, there's been studies that said sometimes spanking can, you know, result in deleterious bad effects, you know, later on in life, and so you've chosen not to spank your child. I have the utmost respect for that. I have the utmost respect for those of you who have decided that sometimes a spanking is needed and you're going to spank your child. So I want to say that right up front. For those of you who choose to spank as one form of discipline, if it's done in a non-abusive way, you know, that's your prerogative. But what I want to challenge you to do, whether you spank or you don't spank, is to let prayer and discernment and what the Bible has to say at least come to inform your decision about that. To let that be your guide instead of, you know, your dad who used to whip you with the belt, right? And so what does the Bible have to say? Well, we said that this isn't but one form of discipline. Spanking doesn't seem to be prohibited in the Bible. However, many people, when they think of discipline and spanking, immediately run to a few verses from the book of Proverbs. They'll be up here on the screen. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Or from another point, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he won't die. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. And so what happens is that, you know, people who are in the pro-spanking camp will say, look at the book of Proverbs. You know, it says, you might have heard it said, spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the belt, spoil the child. You know, some people used to get the switch. Anybody out here ever get the switch before? Mercy. Yeah. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. But then, you know what? There's another side of the argument. There's another side of the argument that says, if you look at the verses that we read earlier today from Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 4, where it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Those who are against spanking as a way will use this as biblical justification because they say to exasperate, which is prohibited here by Paul, to exasperate would mean to spank. That if you're spanking your child, you are exasperating them. And they would make the further point that, you know, yeah, hey, it might say spare the rod and spoil the child way back in Proverbs, but it also says to sacrifice he-goats and she-goats and to bring burnt offering into the temple and to build the church a certain way by certain cubits way back in the book of Leviticus. But now, in the New Testament, this is God's intention. Not that we would beat children with rods to discipline them, but that we would now not exasperate them, but we would still discipline them and bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. So you got this, on, you know, on the one hand in Proverbs it says, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. But then you got this over here in Ephesians in the New Testament where it says don't exasperate your children. What in the world is a parent supposed to do? You take all that into consideration. Well, when we do take all that into consideration, what we have to say is what the Bible calls us to is a loving response of discipline that teaches. When we have a child that is a button pusher, I don't think the Bible prohibits spanking. But I think it has to be done in certain ways. Experts say if you spank, don't do it because you're PO'd. Don't do it because you're burning up with anger. Do it to teach. Do it in love. Do it in private. Not in front of everybody. Never let it be abusive. You know, do it consistently and fairly. And make damn sure that you do it, that you would be as quick to show love and affection and build up a child as much as you ever would to raise a hand and spank them. Make sure you're quicker to love them and build them up than to spank them. Always explain the correction you give. Now, friends, I'm no expert or paragon of virtue when it comes to being a parent. That's for sure. I struggle with this stuff just like everybody else who is a parent or ever been a parent or who has children involved in their lives. Yet one thing I try to keep in mind is I think about how to respond to the little button pushers in my life that I love the utmost. Is that my response to them as a parent, as a father, should mirror the response of my Heavenly Father to me. And how has my Heavenly Father responded to me? And to you, and to all people out there, with love, with mercy, and with forgiveness. Speaking of button pushers. I really didn't plan that. But that's how God has responded to us, you know? He's responded to us with love and mercy and forgiveness. As an earthly father, I'm to reflect that. As earthly parents, we're to reflect that love, patience, and forgiveness. Hebrews 12, 5-6 says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. When we discipline, we love. Church, we're not God. We're going to fail. Yet part of what it means to follow Jesus Christ is to seek to be like Him who was God with us. Part of what it means to follow Jesus is to let faith inform every aspect of our lives, from our work, to our school, to our play, to how we respond to button pushers and especially children who are button pushers in our lives. Raising children is a huge responsibility, especially when they're pushing your buttons. But let us respond in such a way that's appropriate, in such a way that's loving and reflects God, in such a way that is measured, in such a way that seeks to teach and to raise up as God would have us to do. And remember, as you go through that, there's no perfect parents. There's no perfect aunts and uncles and grandparents. But yet we have one we can look to for strength and wisdom and power, who said, "Let the little children come to me." Will you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Father, I pray for the parents who are here in this place. I pray for the grandparents, the aunts and the uncles, and any that have any involvement in children, with children, and amongst children who push their buttons sometimes. I pray for our community. I pray for the mom and dad who are at their wits' end, who've had their buttons pushed one too many times. I pray that you would give them the power to continue on, to be loving and to be kind, but also to respond in an appropriate way and to carry out your call to be stewards over the children that you've given unto their care. Father, pour out your Spirit upon us, that we could be a place that nurtures parents, that nurtures children, so that children could grow up to bow the knee to you, to confess with their tongue that you are Savior and that you are Lord, to the end that glory might be brought to your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.